as this awesome God. Thank you for what you've created, and your handiwork truly cries out every day regarding your glory and your power. Lord, I pray that we too would do the same, that our lives would reflect your glory and your power in us. Lord, we do pray for the people in Florida this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would protect them as Hurricane Irma hits the western shores of Florida. We pray, God, that you would watch over these folks and protect them. Lord, we commit this time to you. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in a mini-series entitled Love God with Your Mind. And we know we're supposed to love God with our heart and soul, but sometimes we forget that Jesus told us to love God with our mind as well. We studied a few verses as we have been going through this series. We talked about 2 Corinthians 10, 5, and 6, and how that says we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. The implication there is the evidence is on our side so that we can destroy the arguments that are raised against the knowledge of God. We looked last week at Acts chapter 17, how Paul entered into Athens and was provoked by all the idols that he saw around him. And he knew this was not a Jewish culture, right? So he began at creation and talked about the God that made everything. And he began with creation and used that as common ground by which to build an amazing witness for Jesus Christ. And we talked about last couple weeks, how we're to hold our heads high intellectually as believers, that we have nothing to be ashamed of, that the evidence is on our side. It takes a much greater leap of faith to believe that all of this happened without the presence of an almighty God who put it all together than the step of faith that we have taken to believe that this did come about by this amazing creator God who sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And the uniqueness of Jesus' life, death, and then, of course, his resurrection challenges us to believe in him. And my prayer would be that every one of you today are totally sold out to Jesus Christ, that you know that he is what he said he is, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. We want to share that message as a church. And we also talked about the fact that we're to be encouraged by the powerful and plentiful evidence that is there for God, that there is powerful and plentiful evidence to support what we believe in. If you have kids today, your kids should know this. If you have grandkids today, your grandkids should be hearing this all the time, that the evidence is powerful and plentiful for the existence of God and for belief in Jesus Christ. And I know in my own life, this evidence has been a powerful buttress for my faith. As I keep looking at articles and the evidence all around us for God in creation, reading books about evidence that I never had when I was in high school. I shared with you that I went through high school being taught that evolution and an atheistic approach to this creation was truth. It was taught like it was fact. So I began to find out what the other side of the evidence was, which was never taught to me in public schools. So I want to challenge us all to be people that clearly and lovingly share evidence, arguments for the existence of God, that we do what Peter challenged us to do in 1 Peter 3:15, to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Every time we share the love of Jesus Christ with a world that's groping in darkness, we are to do it in what? In love, in gentleness and respect. That should be the foundation of the way we communicate with people. I'd like you to turn this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We love having our Bibles open. If you don't have your Bibles, there should be one nearby. Page 939 in your chair of Bibles. We're going to look at Romans 1:16. So we have to move quickly this morning through some of the things that I want to talk about today. I love what Paul says in Romans 1:16. He says this, and my prayer would be every one of you would echo these words in your own life. Paul writes, "For I am not what? Ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And one of the ways in which we can train our kids and ourselves and our grandkids to not be ashamed of the gospel. By the way, you probably have heard the statistics of how many kids that have grown up in the church go off to a secular university and lose their faith, quote unquote. It's sad, right? And the reason why is because we are not doing our job as churches around the country. We're not doing our job as parents around the country who believe in God, and even grandparents, to give our kids the foundation for their belief that the evidence is powerful and plentiful. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We talked about this verse in our study of the Reformation. And that this verse hit Luther, and he's like, wow, we have to live by faith, not by works. Now let's read on. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's a hard verse to read, isn't it? We all love talking about the love of God. I do. I love reading about God's amazing love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now we read this part of who God is. There is a time coming when sin will be judged. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Don't you love it when horns are honking in the parking lot? We got to stop whoever that person is stealing that car, by the way. We got to make sure that person is stopped. This is what it says. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. You'd say, well, God, how is it plain? How have you shown yourself to this world? This is what he says. For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the what? The creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. If you look at this creation, and I shared with you a couple quotes last week of atheistic scientists who would say, man, we got to keep reminding ourselves that this was not designed, because God cannot be an option. That they see the design in creation, but they reject God. They're without excuse, the Bible says. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became what? They became fools. I want to tell you, all around us are people who are very intellectual, but are believing things that are foolish, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. I want to tell you today, we are to stand up for this awesome God. We're not to be ashamed. And that what we see around us gives us a powerful demonstration of the God that we serve today. We can hold our heads high as believers in Jesus Christ, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis says. There was one being who was present at the beginning of creation. That was our God. He is the authoritative witness of exactly what happened in the beginning. Colossians 1:16, for by him, for by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And I wanted to give you some evidence that we can clearly present to our kids and our grandkids, to skeptics, to atheists, that I believe are powerful points to make them think, you know what? We don't know the answer to that. And God is the most rational answer to some of these points that we made. Number one was this: the existence of matter and life point to God. It's called the cosmological argument, that there has to be a first cause. And that life as we know it is so complicated that it could never have happened accidentally. It could never have happened accidentally. The universe could not exist on its own, so there must have been a first cause. Here's the second thing we talked about. The amazing complexity and design that's found in nature points to God. These are points we should all have on the tip of our tongues, my friends, to share with our kids and grandkids and to bolster our own faith. that single-cell organisms were not some simple glob of protoplasm, as Darwin once thought. But with the invention of the electron microscope, we now know that even single-cell organisms are incredibly complex. The design that we see in creation is powerful. This is the quote, one of the quotes I shared with you about the design that's seen in our creation by Francis Crick, an atheistic scientist. We must constantly remind ourselves or keep in mind that what we see was not designed, but rather evolved. And then we talked about the universes and the galaxies, the universe and the galaxies that we see in the universe. This video talked about our amazing universe. Dr. James Treffel said this, there shouldn't be galaxies out there at all. And even if there are galaxies, they shouldn't be grouped together the way they are. Do you see those beautiful spiral galaxies in the video? They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there like that, is his comment. The problem of explaining the existence of galaxies has proved to be one of the thorniest in cosmology. By all rights, they just shouldn't be there. Yet there they sit. It's hard to convey the depth of the frustration that this simple fact induces among scientists. What brought about even the order that we see on a grand scale, not just the order we see in a micro scale? So the first big problem, cells that shouldn't be very simple, if evolution is true, are actually not simple at all, but extremely complex. That these cells that are at the foundation of all life are extremely complex. The second big problem is this. No explanation in evolution for how all the parts of complex biological machines appeared simultaneously. Michael Behe, in his book, Darwin's Black Box, talks about the bacterial flagellum, the tail on a single-cell organism. It's an amazing biological motor that spins at 10,000 RPM. In a quarter turn, can spin the other direction at 10,000 RPM. It's one of the most efficient motors in the universe, Behe says. And it's found in a single-celled organisms. And you have to have all the parts of that appearing simultaneously for that tail that spins at 10,000 RPM to work properly. How does atheism explain that? That all of these parts could come together. And if not all of them being there, it doesn't work. Behe used the example of a mousetrap. Mousetrap has five components: the base, the spring, the hammer, the catch, and the holding bar. If you take any one of those pieces out, the mousetrap doesn't work. He calls that irreducible complexity. You have to have all the parts there. They can't evolve slowly over millions of years, because if they're not all there, all those pieces aren't there simultaneously, it has no use. It's useless and shouldn't be passed on. Here's a picture of that bacterial flagellum and the motor that exists within this amazing organism, a motor that God designed. It's incredible. When we look at the complexity of life, it points to the existence of God. And when I challenge people with that, they're like, yeah, you know, I never thought about that. How did all those parts come together to allow that tail to spin at 10,000 RPM? And then in a quarter turn to spin the other way. Incredibly complex. One scientist said this, but let us have no illusions. Our research would still leave us quite unable to grasp the extreme complexity of the simplest of organisms. Of the simplest. That's what Romans is talking about here. For his invisible attributes are clearly seen through what has been made. God is an amazing designer. How did these complex organisms come about? There's no good answer. That's something I challenge those that I meet who claim to be atheists, those that I meet who claim to not believe in a God, or maybe agnostics. How could this have happened without the presence of our God? Here's a third thing you should say to your kids and grandkids and should bolster your faith as well. The existence and nature of DNA points to the existence of God. DNA points to the existence of God. DNA contains awesome amounts of information in every cell and within living organisms. Complex information demands an intelligent source. See, when you say to somebody, where did the information in DNA come from? Because it's massive amounts of information. You probably heard a bit about DNA. DNA is the most important molecule in living cells. The double helix structure, the twisted ladder structure, was discovered by Francis Crick and Watson, another scientist who received a Nobel Prize for their discovering this. Now, here's the amazing thing. You have about 5 million miles of DNA in your body, enough to reach to the moon and back 13 times just in your body. DNA tells every cell what its job is. DNA informs your body as to the color of your hair, the color of your skin, the color of your eyes, the function of every organ in your body. All that information is contained, complex information in this molecule called DNA. And scientists have no idea where this information came from. They have never observed an increase in information in DNA. They've only seen a sorting of information, not an increase. Where did the information come from? I like what one scientist said in unraveling DNA's design. At the moment of conception, a fertilized human egg is about the size of a pinhead. Yet it contains information equivalent to about 6 billion chemical letters. That's at the moment of conception, my friends. This is enough information to fill 1,000 books, 500 print pages so thick, with print so small you would need a microscope to read it. That's how much information is in just a fertilized egg. Can you imagine how much information you have within you? It's awesome. And here are some questions that I love asking skeptics when we talk about God's amazing creation. Where did the information in DNA come from? Because if there is an initial cell that came to life, and I told you now that it's so frustrating for scientists because they believe that life could not have happened accidentally. So now the theory is that aliens from another planet sent life here, right? But of course, here's the question. Where did that life come from? And how did that start? And where did the information, if you go all the way back to the beginning of life, where did the information in DNA come from? There has never been an example, never, of information increasing in DNA through natural process, which is demanded by evolution. The only way information can increase that we know of, especially for those of us who believe in God, is that God placed it there as this amazing designer. My son, he said, Dad, what are you preaching on? This is a few weeks ago when we were starting this series. I said, I'm doing a series on loving God with your mind. And I told him I was talking on this and this. He said, are you talking about DNA? And I said to my 16-year-old son, yeah, I am. He said, are you going to mention to the church how difficult it is, not just for DNA to have information, but how difficult it would be for DNA to reproduce itself? The act of reproduction. I said, Caden, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to share that with the church. It's not just the fact that DNA has information, but it reproduces itself. Do you know how complex that process is? I remember a few years ago watching a documentary on TV. It was a Nova documentary called The Miracle of Life. And it analyzed human reproduction. And they kept on saying things like how complicated this process is, how amazing the process of duplicating human life is. And even the name of the documentary, The Miracle of Life. But then at the end of the documentary, they said something like this, which left you just, what? And all of this was produced through millions of years of evolution. Now, it was designed by God. Incredibly complex. See, that first DNA molecule with all that information not only had to have that information within it, but it had to know how to reproduce itself. When I share that with people, they're like, yeah, I never thought of that. Well, how did that happen? How did that molecule get that ability to do that? Well, it points to the existence of an awesome God. Think about your own brain. I like what Isaac Asimov said. In man is a 3-pound brain, which as far as we know is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. You feel pretty good about yourself now, don't you? Within my head is a brain that is the most orderly matter in the universe, the human brain. Wow. Can you imagine the complexity of that? It's awesome. We should be reminding our kids of that every day, our grandkids of that every day. How awesome our God is and the creative power of our God. Here's the fourth thing I love saying to people. People assume that the fossils support evolution, right? That the fossil record goes against the Bible. They assume that because that's in essence what's told to them by scientists or teachers in school. But here's the reality. The lack of transitional fossils in the fossil record points to a creator God. It's an incredible thing that very often our young people don't know. We don't even know it. That there's a lack of transitional fossils. Let me explain what that is in a second. The fact that no true confirmed transitional fossils have ever been found when there should be millions of them in evolution is true. The fact that there's never been a transitional fossil that's ever been found should remind us that God exists and that He created. I like what Philip Johnson wrote in his book, Darwin on Trial. Evolution would have filled the fossil record with billions of intermediary creatures, yet not one, you get that? Not one. There should be billions because it has to exist throughout the evolutionary tree of life, these middle forms that are changing from one species to another, from one family of animals to another, which has never been observed, by the way. There should be billions of these fossils in the fossil record, yet not one has ever been found. My guess is your kids would be shocked or grandkids would be shocked to hear that. It's not told to them. There should be billions, and yet not one has been found. For example, atheists believe that a reptile eventually evolved into a bird, that over millions of years of slow changes, that reptile became a bird. That's what's being taught, right, in evolution. But can you imagine how many changes are needed to go from a reptile to a bird? Just think of feathers. Have you ever picked up a feather and seen how complicated these feathers are? They're awesome. The ability of birds to fly is amazing. Yet scientists want to tell us that these animals, reptiles, evolved into birds over millions of years. If that is true, there should be millions of fossils, and this is just one example, by the way, right? There should be millions of intermediary forms. There should be fossils of a reptile slowly developing wings. No evolutionary scientists believe that all of a sudden fully formed wings popped out of the descendant of a reptile. No one believes that. What they believe is that it developed over millions of years. Think of all the information that needs to be added to the DNA of a reptile so that it becomes a bird and so that it can pass it on to its descendants. Think of all the massive amounts of information that have to be added to that reptile and all the massive changes that are needed. There should be billions of intermediary. What I mean by that is transitioning animals from one family of animals to another. There should be billions of fossils. But here's the truth. Not one has ever been found. Ever. Dr. Stephen Gould is an atheistic evolutionist. He said this, the fossil record with its abrupt transitions. What he means is there's fossils of reptiles and there's fossils of birds. Abrupt transitions. Offers no support. How much is no support? Zero, right? It's zero support. This is not a Christian saying this. This is not a creationist saying this. This is one of the leading paleontologist scientists in the world, Dr. Stephen Gould, says that offers no support for gradual change. Zero. None. There's a God, my friends. There is a God. The evidence in the fossils reveals it. There's a phrase called the Cambrian explosion of life. The Cambrian explosion of life is all about all of these forms of animals suddenly appearing in the geological timeline. Let me show you that geological timeline. You've probably heard the movies Jurassic Park, right? There's the Jurassic Age. That's about, you see the timeline on the right. That's about 180 million years ago. If you go back to the very beginning, it's hard to read because of the colors of this chart, is the Cambrian period in the geologic timeline. It's very early, according to paleontologists. Yet scientists have found amazing things in the Cambrian fossil record. What they have found is this. All main kinds of living creatures were there. Animals with backbones, animals without backbones. The Cambrian explosion, according to many scientists, destroys the idea that all living things evolved from simple ancestors. It destroys it. Why? Because all the major living groups were there, animals with backbones, without backbones. They shouldn't be there at the earliest time. And yet there they are. Chinese scientists in China have one of the best preserved Cambrian layers of rock that are known in the world today. They have stated that Darwin's tree of life, we know what it looks like, right? There's one cell that comes alive, and then all of a sudden it branches out into all these forms of life that we see today by the power of evolution. Chinese scientists who look at the Cambrian layer and all of the animals that existed millions of years ago at the very beginning of time have said this: Darwin's tree of life is wrong. What you need to do is you need to flip Darwin's tree of life over. The tree is very wide at the beginning of time, and what we observe is a narrowing of the tree. Let me ask you today, how many species are there in the world today? Plant and animal. Anybody know? Any idea how many species there are on this planet today? Well, this is what I just Googled it this week, so you can Google it yourself. 8.7 million species exist on the planet today. Now, let me ask you this. How many species are going extinct every day on this planet, according to scientists? Anybody know? No, this is what they said. Again, you can Google it yourself. Scientists estimate that 150 to 200 species of plant, insect, bird, and mammal become extinct every 24 hours. So what the Chinese scientists are saying is exactly what we're observing now. That the tree of life was very wide at the beginning. And we're seeing animals and plants going extinct through time, not new species being formed. I've asked scientists many times, show me the best example of evolution. If it's so powerful and it created all of this life that we see today, tell us what's the best example of that we can find in nature today. Give me one example of one animal that's clearly changing into another if it's so powerful. Of course, they can't give one because God created them by their kinds. And God said they will reproduce according to their kinds. Reptiles give birth to reptiles. Now, obviously, in the beginning of time, the Bible is clear. In Adam and Eve, God placed amazing genetic potential. Even atheistic scientists will tell you that the entire human race came from one human mother. There weren't pockets of evolution over here that led to this race and pockets of evolution over here that led to that race. Everyone on the planet, according to atheists and, of course, what the Bible says, came from one human mother. In fact, atheist scientists give this one human mother a nickname. They call her mitochondrial Eve. They even name her after the woman that's in the Bible because all of us came from one human mother and one human father. And within Adam and Eve were the genetic potential for all the variants that we see in the human population today. God, this creative God, put it all there. The DNA potential for all the variations that we see on the planet today, within the DNA of Adam and Eve. See, that's why I love Romans 1:20. For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. They're without excuse. My friends, I want to do this one more week. We're going to have one more week of this because I want you to know what the evidence is. I want you to share it with people who are doubters. I want our kids to know it. I want your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter to come to you and say, and that's what I love. My son, after he said that, are you going to talk about the reproduction process of DNA? Because I went to my teacher. Do you think I was excited to hear my son say that? I went to my teacher and I said to him, sir, you're talking about DNA. How did DNA figure out how to reproduce itself? And my son Caden said, the teacher looked at him and said, yeah, that's a great question. We really have no idea. We have no idea. Do you think that bolstered the faith of my son when he heard that? Of course. I want our faith to be bolstered. I want us to be lights for our kids and our grandkids to know that there is a God out there who loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross. Amen, church. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, as we continue this series of what you did, we're in awe of you, God. We are in awe of you. We will not start worshiping the creation and forget the creator. And Lord, all throughout creation, we see amazing design. We see creation reflecting exactly what your word says, that in the beginning you created two people, Adam and Eve, and you created animals according to their kinds. And you populated the earth with these animals. And Lord, we're in awe of your creativity. God, we pray that we would be a light to a world that's groping in darkness. Help us, God, to never be ashamed, ever be ashamed of your gospel. Because it's the power of God. It's your power to change lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name.